Welcome to The Genuine Optimist. This podcast is about the hope for a better world to come. Optimism comes from the Latin optimum or best thing. Here we talk about the optimum best things, which it may at times require us to face the worst. Hold tight. A renaissance is coming. Let's get started. Episode 5. What is a political optimist? You know, a political optimist is a person wearing the false clothing of optimism. Yes, this is an oxymoron. Two words combined that create a contradiction. Political means false. Optimism means best. Political optimism is the false best. Believe it or not, it does exist. Specifically, it is a person who politicizes optimism. You know, we never really used the word politicize years ago. We used partisan. We shifted to political because political takes the side of power. Partisan takes the side of party. The shift to political accommodates more conniving and cunning that dominate society today. By the way, I take the side of people and I reject power and party as a genuine focus. Anyway, political optimists are controlling people from a distance. That's the key. They do everything from a distance. They impose confidence from an elitist distance, and they manage from a distance. They're like outside consultants telling you how to handle an inside crisis. They look and sound close, but in truth, their heart is far from you. Have you ever chased a rainbow? With every step you take to get closer to the rainbow, it moves away. This is a political optimist. They glimmer, but you can never get close enough to feel any warmth. Political optimists are charlatans. They politicize the spirit of optimism, which is to say, they do not promote the optimum or best of anything. They promote only what sounds good. They charge the air with their capital success without any attempt to understand your concerned mind. In a way, greater success separates the political person from the responsibility of genuine optimism. Let me tell you what is on my mind. I know this person in my community. He is always full of smiles and pats everyone on the back. He is wealthy and well-known in the community. He makes small talk and moves away rather quickly just to make sure nothing serious surfaces. He has served in many community leadership positions, and many call him a good man. "Oh, that's Joe," people say. "He's a good man." We call nice guys good men these days. I call them political optimists. Here's why. So-called good men can take the word optimism and turn it into an attitude of constant and temporary upbeatness. They always stay in the shallows. They never really get to know anyone for who they are. They steer clear of real connections, and they never swim in the deep end. There are better men and women than this, so why call a person a good man when that person stays clear of real relationships? You know, modern motivational self-help is to blame, in part, but mostly it's the hierarchy structures we put over us. We emphasize political distance from any open dissent. I call this the moat and the castle. You know, in our hierarchies, we have this thing called kingdom building. And nobody wants the onslaught of so many people coming after them saying, I've got an idea, and I've got a question, how about this, or why do we do it this way? People in leadership can tend to get inundated with a lot of people coming after them. Some of them are followers and worshipers, but some of them are just genuine people. So what they do is they create a moat, and that moat is a bunch of executive staff. If you're in a corporate model, they create the executive staff and they become the moat. And that protects the leader from the onslaught of so many people coming after them. Anyway, kingdom builders handle disagreement with disdain, as if all dissent is negativism. They even say that a politically correct language improves the workplace, the community, and the family. This is not true. The silencing of discussion, all because someone is triggered, is politicized optimism. It is the assumption of infallibility in the language. Forced correctness feeds on the worship of authority at the cost of losing agency. This is something I fight about all the time. If there's a language Nazi in an organization and you want to ask a question, but it might just trigger the wrong response, you're kind of shut down. You can't freely express yourself. You can't ask a question because it might just offend somebody. Anyway, I use the reference of my anonymous Joe because political people use the distance of their success to magically detach themselves from the burdens and disagreements others carry. This is opposite of the leader who carries those burdens and openly stands to be questioned. That's a real difference in leadership. Those that are willing to stand to take questions from anyone, and those who just kind of stay for a moment and walk away. At every turn, political optimists produce top-down, centrally controlled organizations with no access to rise against their authority. This model places leadership at a greater distance from a genuine optimism of dissent. Yes, I am actually saying that the ability to dissent or disagree is really the real source of optimism. It also explains why Joe, my person, anonymous Joe, avoids showing any responsibility toward new ideas, especially challenging ideas. New ideas require him to be more responsible in listening and acting on those ideas. It is best to create a moat around his castle to get protection from new ideas entering. So even though Joe is retired, he is always in a hurry to nowhere. I believe he is in the hurry to get clear of taking any responsible care for another's thoughts. For me, I prefer the safeguards of being genuine as a countermeasure to being political. Being genuine teaches how we must stand to be corrected while still questioning authority. I have tried to talk to Joe about this, but he always smiles and walks away to give a temporary moment to the next person in line. Have you seen a pack rat? This kind of explains Joe. This is a person who piles up stuff that they never use or properly dispose of. It's like a political pack rat, which is a person who piles up supposedly important connections purely to advance their own social status. Compare a pack rat to a pack horse. A pack horse carries the load, whereas a pack rat hoards the load. Most people are either political pack rats or they are a pack horse. Pack rats are political, pack horses are not. Political pack rats collect power and position and associations, but they never use or properly dispose of that power. Even more, they never really build deep relationships with those connections. They give everyone a temporary moment, but never a lasting connection. Everything is a transaction, never a relationship. In other words, pack rats never give power or consideration to those below or to the side. Everything is above them. Because their focus is directed toward a power source above them and often at a distance, they are hard to read. They never carry the load like a pack horse. Therefore, if you want to learn how to read political people and attract more pack horses into your organization, stop hiring political people. Stop hiring people you can manage and hire people who can take responsibility. Stop trying to build relationships with political people. It's futile. As in all things rebellious, some undressing will need to take place if you really want to make a change. We need a bit of bravery within each of us to say openly, the optimist has no clothes. To those afraid of speaking, we often say, imagine the audience is naked. Why not say, imagine the speaker is naked? Maybe that speaker is a political optimist. It is just as helpful to see those in leadership undressed and naked as it is to see the audience naked. It may be the only way to stop the destructive worship of authority over our own minds. Learning to read political people requires that we see them naked in the community when most remain captivated by their show. When we address the political person, we quickly see staged acts, underhanded intimidation, and irrational energy. All three attract political pack rats in great numbers. If you haven't guessed it, political pack rats are worshippers. They're not independent minds. I wrote a book about this called The Political Optimist. Political optimists can destroy entire nations and collapse a thriving corporation. If there's one thing alone that will save your business or make for a better society, learning to read political people is that one thing. The second is learning how to deal with them. When we undress the political person using a fake optimism to cover a shallow connection with the community, we see the same underlying problem that every human confronts, namely a lot of repressed fear. Have you ever subjected yourself to the cult of one person's personality? It's like your entire free agency is suddenly gone. You can't speak up, ask questions, or offer new ideas. These people demand complete allegiance. If you give off the impression that you cannot be managed or controlled, you will be removed or you will not be hired. And if you have ideas of your own, you are not going to advance. In the book, I describe three different kinds of political people. staged personalities, intimidators, and irrational people. They all use a politicized optimism to maintain power and to secure more control. Read the book. It's available on Amazon and Lulu, and soon to come to Kindle, and an audio version as well. Just remember, a political optimist is a person wearing the false clothing of optimism. Political means false, optimism means best. Political optimism is a false best. Specifically, is a person who politicizes optimism. We do not need these people. We need genuine optimists, people driven to create thriving cultures and open discourse. These are people who demand common consent and they fight against central control. They love discussion and never seek to shut it down. They are purple people, never the extreme, just the silent majority. A renaissance is coming, and they are learning how to organize their passion for consent. Get ready. They are rising in voice and vision, and the world will change forever. Go to genuineoptimist.com, subscribe, and get notified of new posts.